I think, but I'm not entirely certain, but I think that there is a correlation between control freaks and extreme planners. Does that sound right to you? Yeah, like, let's get some polling here, because I think I have found someone who breaks that mold, and I think you'll be surprised who that might be. So who are my control freaks? Who are my control freaks? Raise your hand. It's okay. Yeah, be proud. How about who are type A personalities? Maybe that'd be a better way. So control freak sounds negative. The type A personality go-getters. Anyone? Yeah, that. I think most of you are lying now for some reason. You're worried that I'm going to use you in my sermon. Now, who of you are the extreme planners? So here we go. Maybe here's a great example. So let's imagine that you're going to move your college graduate across country to go to a higher education to get his degree in religion, and that's in St. Louis, Missouri. So just this is hypothetical. Now imagine that you and this son and another son who happens to be, I think, descendant from the Nephilim. He's pretty large. He's like 6'12". And you're stuck in a little tiny but very loud BMW, and it feels like a clown car, right? So how do you plan? Who are the planners of the trips that will say, okay, we're going to travel for this part, we're going to get to this space, and once we get to there, we're going to stop here, we're going to get a little soda, we're going to do a bathroom break, and then we're going to drive for another 47 minutes, then we're going to arrive at this place, we're going to eat some food, we're going to do this, and then you plan all the way out until you finally, I don't know, land maybe Amarillo, Texas, and once you land in Amarillo, that's where you're going to spend the night, and you got everything planned out. Who are my extreme planners? There we go. Yes, it's okay to be an extreme planner, because you have everything laid out, right? Everything's laid out. Like you got your plan. Like, what are you going to do? Who has plans for today? Yeah, well, if you're an extreme planner, you have to raise your hand. You've got some plan for today, right? And then there's others. Whatever happens, happens. You know, Catherine, is that you? Why am I surprised by that? I honestly would have thought differently. See, and I think, what was that? Yeah, I thought there was a correlation between the two, but I think I'm finding it that those can be separate, because I feel I am a type A personality. I like to, you know what's happening, but I'm not a planner. Well, how did we get across country? Oh, sorry. How did this theoretical person get to Amarillo, Texas? We said we're driving this route and we're staying the night, and that was all we had. And, you know, we stop at, like, well, we got to get gas. Let's get gas here. And so we did, and three of us climb out of this BMW like a clown car, and the gas station attendant is looking. He goes, is there any more of you in there? That just like, is crazy. I'm also the same with church potlucks, right? Church potlucks. Every time I say, hey, as a church, let's gather together and have a potluck, you extreme planners, like, come out of the woodwork, and you, like, you attack me, and you're like, but wait, but is it like A through J is going to be main dish, and then K through R is going to be side dish, and then the rest have dessert? I'm like, no. Like, but what happens if everyone just brings dessert? So what? I love it. I think that would be fantastic. So I have this, there's something about me that I'm okay. And Heather and I, you have to admit this. I don't know why you think I'm an extreme planner. But like when we go cross country, we kind of have an idea or we're doing something. And then we're like, well, where are we going to stop and eat? Well, I don't know. And Heather and I have a rule that, especially if we're traveling without the kids, we are mandated by our own rules. We cannot eat at a place that our kids would enjoy eating. And we can't eat food that they would enjoy. So no more chicken strips, no more French fries. Like, we have to chuck all that. So I'm not, but there's others that really need to make sure that you have things planned out. Heather, I think you're an extreme planner. Would you say Heather's an extreme planner? Yes, yeah, thank you, yes. That was awfully loud. George wants to make sure you know that you are an extreme planner. Because it was really great. She had a folder when we were prepping to get married. You know, it was like, this is this. And I didn't understand a lot of the prep that my fiance was doing. And so a couple of things kind of got messed up because the kind of relaxed dude. Like, Here's a great thing. Rich would remember this. Rich was in my wedding. So we're sitting backstage, sounds weird, sitting behind the CY Center, and where the boutonnieres come for the gentleman, right? So I get all these boutonnieres, and it's great because Heather had them all labeled. Everything's great. Like, here, pass it out to. So I'm like, okay, I got Rich, okay, I got John, I got Thomas, I got RJ, I got Gary. Oh, this is really, and then I get to one, and I'm like, Norman. I'm like, who's Norman? And I'm looking at all the guys, and I'm asking, like, do any of you know a Norman? And I'm totally, I don't know what to do. And I'm starting to panic a little bit because I'm super relaxed. Whatever happens, happens. You know, like, I stepped on her dress. I blew hot wax on her dress. Candles caught on fire. Crazy things happen at weddings. And, you know, it's no big deal. But I'm like, she purposely got a boutonniere for Norman. I don't, who's Norman? So I was like, well, you know. Oh, well, that's what us non-extreme planners do. I just went on the way, and then, I don't know, it was a couple weeks later or something, Heather, she comes up, and she's like, hey, why didn't you give the boutonniere to my stepfather? And I go, there wasn't a flower for Rusty. Well, Rusty's not his name. That's his nickname. His real name is Norman. I'm like, Norman, I found him. That's how I was really excited at that point. If you are someone who is an extreme planner, James is going to have some words for you. If you are someone who doesn't really like to plan, I think James is still going to have some words to say to you, especially when we start thinking of the big events in our life. One of the questions that's going to be asked by James is, where is God in it all? Is he present? I think it would be great if we eventually got to a point where, like, literally everything we did was, I don't know, not run by God, but, you know, at least directed in some way, that there was some sort of influence. But, yeah, I'm not advocating that today you're like, well, where are we going to go to lunch? Dear Lord, should we go to In-N-Out Burger or Carl's Jr.? And of course, God, if he was going to direct you, it'd be In-N-Out Burger. I mean, it's just obvious that would be the one to do. Or God, I'm driving, and there's a Chevron, and then there's an Arco. Where should I gas up my vehicle? I understand that. I think in a lot of the decisions we have to make every day, God may not really technically be a part of it, but I think that we end up losing out on God's influence in our lives because we just simply do it ourselves. And those who are extreme planners, you usually hold on to those plans pretty tight, right? You've got a plan. This is the way it's going to happen. And if there is any deviation from that plan, there is pain, there is worry, there is stress, because you hold on to your plan so tightly. James says, hold on loosely. Should you have a plan? Oh, absolutely. If you don't have a plan at all, then you're in trouble, and we have to go through the book of Proverbs with you to help you understand that even animals have a plan, where they gather food at certain times. People have plans, and we should be strategizing for the future. But for those that don't have God being a part of it, there's some lessons we need to learn. James chapter 4, I'm going to be going from 13 to the end of the chapter. Verse 13. He's going to give a hypothetical. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So some people, everything is time bound, which again are very smart goals, that's the T in SMART, is time-bound. You got to have some plan of, I'm going to graduate in this many years. I'm going to be engaged for this many years. We're going to get married this many years. We're going to have kids this many years. I'm going to retire in this many years. You know, having a plan for the future is not a bad thing. But again, sometimes we don't plan with God in mind. And then we also think about locations, right? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go to college? Where are we going to retire? I am curious if there's any people who said, forget this state of California. This place is crazy and nutty. I'm going to move to Florida. And I just wonder, I don't know if I know anyone that retired to Florida. Do you know someone that retired to Florida? Oh, my gosh. And they're probably thinking to themselves, maybe that was bad. Where are you going to have kids? Some people are like, well, I want to have kids in a certain type of neighborhood with a certain type of school. We have those types of plans. And then you have plans on money, right? How much money are you going to make? These are people who are strategizing out. They're thinking of where they're going to do it, when they're going to do it, and they're focused on how much they're going to make. I remember a time where I was talking with one gentleman, and he was advising his kids, choose a job that will help you finance your lifestyle. I thought that was a very interesting, choose a job that will finance your lifestyle. What if instead you chose a job that God built you for and designed you for, so that every day you go to work, you really don't feel like you're working, but instead you're giving glory to God through your vocation? I think some of us, when we plan and we have all of these ideas in our mind, this is what we're thinking. But God says you've got to take into account a couple of things. First of all, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do you? Does anyone know what's going to happen today? No, I have no idea. Raiders are probably going to lose. That is right. Yeah, that's probably a good. I think the Chargers probably will lose too. It's possible, you know. Niners. Oh, did Reg already leave? Good. I could pick on the Niners. The Niners are totally going to lose because they are terrible too. We don't really know. Might you die today? Now, that's, yeah, welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here. I feel so much encouraged. Yeah, now I'm going to think about my death. I don't think anyone who dies thinks about that it's going to happen right then, unless it's something with a terminal illness. I mean, no one knows if there's going to be an accident on the freeway. No one knows if there's going to be a medical condition. I mean, even planning for this morning. I'm like, okay, well, I wake up, and then I play a couple games of Candy Crush with Bubba, and then I have a cup of coffee, and then I get showered and dressed and ready. I come here, I get here around 8:15, and there could have been so many things that happened today. Have you not seen that? Maybe I had a flat tire. Maybe I'd wake up, and I just have a horrible cough that I can't shake. Maybe I wake up, and I just have a horrible migraine. I can't even see straight, and things are all floaty and fuzzy, and I can't concentrate. What happens if I all of a sudden just trip and twist my ankle and I can't even walk anymore? You know, last night we went and picked up Vicar from Orange County. Vicar has learned if you book flights, where should we leave and take off from? Orange County or Long Beach. Yeah, both of those great places. And so I'm really glad he was like, please pick me up at LAX. I'd be like, well, yeah, you're in trouble now. No, he never did, which was really good. But he had a great plan yesterday. It was a wonderful plan. He was going to leave Nebraska. It's good to leave Nebraska. Keep going. And all of a sudden then, his flight got canceled. Oh. So they said, well, hey, no problem. We'll book you on a flight tomorrow. That would have been today. And he's like, well, that kind of doesn't work for me. I kind of got to work on Sundays. It's kind of my big work day. And it was so funny because then they rearranged his flight, and then that flight was delayed a little bit to the point where he essentially landed at the time of his original flight from before, which I don't know why they didn't put you on that flight in the first place. But this is what happens with plans, right? You always make these plans, but you have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen today. Some of you today, you might end up finding out some really terrible news. You might also wake up to or have something happen today that's really wonderful news. Maybe you were applying for a grad school, or maybe you were thinking about retiring and you were waiting to build a home, and finally you got the permits to the house are now all set. You've got all these plans that sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. The problem is you don't know what they are, right? I've mentioned this before, and I will continue to say it. Aren't you glad you don't know what God has planned for you today or tomorrow? Right? If you found out today from God that you were going to be in a car accident, how many of you would drive? Right? How many of you find out you're going to die in a freak skydiving accident? Well, I'm going to be canceling my plans. I'm not going to be going out on skydiving today. We would end up altering our life constantly in fear and worry of what's going out. But God says that's not how we live, right? Instead, how we live is trusting that God has some sort of plan. God has some sort of mission that you are. And you are to be just simply living, but knowing you can't hold on to this life too hard. There are things that are going to happen that you don't know about. And that can be problematic. You don't know if today is the last day you see your kid. You don't know if today is the last day you see your mom or dad. You don't know if today is the last day you'll see the Raiders win. I mean, it's very possible. It really is. Yeah. Trying to help out. Yeah. Learning how to say, I don't know what my life holds, helps us to hold on loosely, and I believe Scripture would say this, it allows us to live our life with more joy. And here's the reason why. How many of you, when you take control of your life, good things seem to happen all the time? I found every time I take control of my own life, things don't really go very well. I think they run kind of smoothly. You know, I'm the type A personality, so it's like, yeah, I don't mind taking charge. But then I ruin it because God is not a part of my plan because I really have no idea. I had no idea that this was going to be the church I would be at for, I don't know how many years now, a lot of years, and I absolutely love it. People ask me, are you going to die in that church? And I say, oh, I sure hope I am, but I have no idea. What is God going to do? And there's things that happen that when we trust that God has a plan, we can relax because God knows more than you do. God has better plans than you. God loves you with an everlasting love. And if you hold on to that, that will be great. Because again, you are a mist. I'm in the middle of 14. You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. That mist, used a lot in the wisdom literature, maybe you'll even remember it, used a lot in the book of Ecclesiastes. You're a mist. You're here for a little while, and then you're gone. Put your life in the middle of eternity, and you find out how short everything is. I think this is the reason why he's trying to say, stop living your life in such a way that you're just saying, well, tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Why aren't you doing it today? Why are you not living that way? Is there someone that you need to reconcile with? Well, I'll do that later. I'm still hurt. I'm still angry. Is there someone that you want to say, hey, man, I'm so proud of you and all of your accomplishments. I'm sure they know it, right? But when all of a sudden we're faced with something like death, eternity, us taking the time now and saying those things are going to become so much more important. Because tomorrow's never promised to any of us. And maybe now is the time to do something. Trust me, I'm still working on this too. I don't have this whole thing figured out. Even just this past week, I took a step finally. There was someone that I've had some issues with, and I saw them this past week, and I really tried, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm not really doing good. And then God's like, okay, great. Well, then I'm going to have to teach you some stuff in the Word of God. And I then study this. And I'm like, no, God, that's not fair. You're not supposed to be doing that to me. You know, this is for you people. You guys are all the sinners. I got everything pretty much under control. And I'm reminded, no, you've got to be looking at this too. Tomorrow's not promised to me or this other person. And maybe I need to do something about that. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, I was shocked a couple of weeks ago. Went down to Concordia to do a chapel message, and it was. I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And then after it was done, I start driving home, and I call Heather, and I don't feel good. I'm like, I don't like this. She goes, what's wrong? I go, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, I'm at Concordia. Where's Jacob? Well, he's not there. It was the first time in 4 years that I didn't see him, and I'm like, ah. Oh. So I called him later that week, and I'm like, hey, I felt this way. He's like, oh, my gosh, you have feelings. And I thought, yeah, that was kind of cool. Yeah, I actually do have feelings. Kind of a, no, he didn't say that. I mean, do the people around you know? I mean, why? I think it also puts things in. Are you having a fight right now with someone? Does it then change things where you go, huh, I don't know if this is going to ever be promised in the future. Should I find reconciliation now? Or you're making other plans and you're thinking, it doesn't matter if God's a part of the plans or not. No, I think it does, because that's what God wants. He's not just interested in being on the periphery and standing to the side and kind of observing your life. No, he wants to be an integral part of it. And so then James goes on and gives us, like, what should we say? So some of you are extreme planners, and when you do extreme planning, you hold onto those really super tightly, and when something goes wrong, you freak out, and you get worried, and you get stressed, and God's saying, it's okay. Let go a little bit. It's going to be fine. Your life's going to be fine. Let me be a part of it. Listen what he says. I love verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The Lord's will. Now, please don't use this. I know some people use this as an excuse, and it's really funny. Like, hey, do you want to come to my party next week? And you're like, if the Lord wills that, I will be, you know, glad to come to your party. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to go to this party. I think it's going to be a really dumb party, and I really don't like this person. And so I'll throw on a thin layer of Christianese and just blow that person off. But it's not supposed to be used as an excuse. I don't even know if it's supposed to be used as a mantra, but it's supposed to be used as a constant reminder. If the Lord wills, we make plans, but God directs the path. You may have a great plan right now of what you're going to do and where you're going to go, and God is sitting up there just laughing. Out of curiosity, how many of you here are in the exact spot you thought you would be in 5 years ago? 5 years, so put yourself 5 years ago and say, would I have found myself in whatever situation? Maybe you're nearing retirement, maybe you're going to college, maybe you're changing jobs, maybe you're buying new houses, whatever it is. Are you in the same place you were 5 years? 5 years ago, did anyone here predict a worldwide pandemic? Nope. No one thought it. No one imagined it. And what did we all do? It's very difficult because we trust in what God has planned. Whatever God has plans, it's great. How many of you know what's going to be happening in the next 5 years? I sure don't. I have no clue. Now, does that mean I shouldn't make a plan? No. This is where, for me, I've got to constantly be reminding myself. I look forward. I make some sort of plans. I want God to be a part of it. And so that's how I end up finding my prayer life in. Lord, I think this is what I want to do. Lord, I think this is where you want me to go. Careful on the prayers when you make a decision of what to do. And this happens all the time in churches, just so you know. And again, one of the sins that we have. We say, well, we think we're going to go in this direction. So, Lord, we're going in this direction. Will you please bless it? Have you ever prayed that way? I've prayed that way tons of times. Here's a newsflash, what James would say. How about do this? Lord, We think we're supposed to head here, but we don't know, and we're really trusting in you. So, Lord, how about this? Can you speak to us? Can you guide us? Can you direct us? Because we want to find out what you want out of us, and then we want to do this. Our plans, maybe they're good. Maybe they align with you, but maybe they're not. And we want to trust that you have a better plan than we do. Are you doing that in your relationships? Are you doing that in your moves? Are you doing that in your retirement? Lord, I think I have a plan, but I don't want to be outside of your plan, so why don't you give me your plan, and then I'll get behind that plan, and we can work this plan together. When we allow God to give the direction first, that's us holding on loosely to our plan so that we don't strangle God's will out of our life. It's okay to not know. Some of you are like, well, I'm not too sure when I'm going to retire because, holy cow, the stock market just took a massive tumble, and I just don't think I can retire now. Well, how about this? Maybe pray about it? And I know you guys are thinking, that's easy for you to say. You're a pastor. No. I am literally one of the worst offenders ever in stuff like this because I can see in the future ideas, and I hold on loosely, but I'm really good at saying, well, this is what I'm going to think. I think we're going to go in this direction. God, you good with that? I don't know. I can't hear you. I'm going to go. Instead of saying, where are you at, God, in all of this? If it is the Lord's will, as it is, verse 16, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. So he's going to highlight it essentially in two different things. He's going to say some of you are so focused on who you are and how good you are that you just simply don't bring God into the equation. And you do two things. One, you boast about how great you are, and then two, you don't even seek God's will. So there's things that you are doing that are evil, and then there's things that you should be doing and you're not doing, and that's wrong too. Boasting and bragging about how great you are and how wonderful you are is dangerous. As you know, this last week, Vicar and I were at a pastor's conference, and I tell you, it's always fun. Because pastors, we have this little dance that we do. I go up to some pastor. I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? And the first question is, where are you pastoring at, right? And then the second question, every single time, is how big is your church? Because then I have to rank you. Then I have to go, okay, well, your church is smaller than my church, and my church is relatively small. And so really, do I even want to listen to you because you're even worse of a loser than I am? And so I got to find someone with a bigger church and then listen. That's terrible. Does it matter how many people you have in your church? No. Are you faithful with God's word? Are you preaching? Are you teaching? Are people's lives being changed? That's fantastic. Now we can use that as an excuse and say, oh, look, my church is shrinking because I'm preaching the pure word of God and I'm down to two people. Okay, well, maybe you have a different problem. There's a couple there, not that many. Boasting and bragging about who you are, you've got to be very careful. It's okay to be confident in who you are. I think God gives us confidence. God gives us gifts, and be confident in those gifts. But when all of a sudden we start boasting and bragging about what we're doing, God often has to come. This ties in last week with that humility thing. Do you want to be humbled by God or humble yourself? It's much better to humble yourself. And then anyone, verse 17, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Right? In theological terms, I love throwing around because it makes me sound super smart. You've got sins of commission and sins of omission. That's how we label these things. So sins of commission are like you are gossiping. Okay, well, gossip is a sin, and when you do the sin, you are evil. And, well, now you are lusting. Well, lust is a sin. You are doing sin. That is evil. But there's also these sins of omission, and James is talking about it because I think a lot of us are like, well, I'll just simply live my life and I'll omit God from the whole thing and I won't even talk to him or ask him. And it's like, no, if there's things that you are supposed to be doing and you're not doing those, that's wrong too. God is asking you right here, right now, can I be a part of your plan? Right now. Not later. Not when you get your life figured out. Not when you finally have enough money. Not when you finally have the right degrees. Not when the kids finally move out of the house and you can do your own thing. God's saying, right now, I want to be a part of your plan. Has God been a part of your plan? If you are not including him, that would be a sin. And like he says it, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. When God isn't a part of it, that's a problem because God wants to be a part of it. I'm really glad of the plans that God has for you and me. I think of the past, and I shudder to think that God had a plan that he was completely devoted to, and that plan included saving us. And the plan that had been all along was God wanted to be an integral part of every one of your life. He didn't want to just sit from above and say, well, I hope that they figure stuff out on their own, and if they do, great, they'll find me and we'll be good. No, he was an integral part of the salvation of the entire world. He was an integral part of the salvation of you and me. And then I think of the present, and I think, wow, I don't understand God's plan. Literally every time I've tried to figure it out, I've faltered. Every time I think I know what God is doing, it's something totally different. It's a reminder. It's his way of reminding me over and over again, Mark, you're not going to figure this out. This is how it always seems to me, and I don't know if this will resonate with you, but I remember years ago, I had a dream one time, and I know not all dreams are from God, but this one I really felt it was. I felt like I was in one of those hedge mazes that if it was snowing, I'm pretty sure Jack Nicholson would be behind me and he would be like chasing after me. And some people are like, what's that? It's a scary movie from the past. Go check it out. You will love it. I'm looking down this corridor and I'm like, well, I mean, am I just going down here? You know, I'm looking back like, you know, I don't see any path. What is God doing? This is frustrating me. And I just remember as I started walking down the path, sorry if you're on YouTube or Facebook, you're not going to see it, but you're walking down the path, and then I get all the way down, and it looks like it's a dead end. And I'm like, wait a second, imagine that these doors aren't here. And like, I'm coming to these doors, and it's a dead end. And I'm like, and I'm banging against the doors, and then I realize something totally crazy. Did you know there's a door over here? Did you guys see this door over here? Yeah. It actually goes outside. It was very fascinating to me because from right here, I can't see the door. I don't know what God's doing. This path is crazy. I can't walk this path. And God's like, I need you to walk this path because there's a right-hand turn that you are not seeing. But you've got to trust. I've got a plan for you. And then you've also got to continually remind yourself that life is short. It could be you. None of you is promised tomorrow. And again, hopefully that's not to bum you out or depress you, but it's to remind you that what we have now is a precious gift from God. You know our story, Heather and I, and the accident that we were in. We are now on like 25 years borrowed time. And every day we live, we're like, well, we're not promised tomorrow. So we might as well go and do something about today. Some of you are waiting too long, and God's saying, you don't have long to wait. Some of you are wishing for something in the future, and God's saying, now's the thing. But most importantly, please, is God part of your plan? Are you praying, Lord? Careful if you're doing the Lord. This is what we're going to do. Can you please bless it? No, instead, Lord, what would you have us do? How would you want me to live? God's got a great plan for you. Don't hold on too tightly. Your life isn't fully promised to you. But what is promised is the actual presence of God to be with you wherever you go. So if you're walking down a path and you don't see any way out and it doesn't make any sense, continue to walk the path. Don't worry, God has a right-hand turn coming up for you. Let's pray. Lord, some of us are control freaks and extreme planners. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not one of them. They are evil, No, they're not. They are wonderful human beings, and I'm so glad that there's planners, because otherwise people like me would like not. It would be chaotic in this world. But I also know, Lord, that you have you want us to hold on to these plans in a loose way, so that we're not keeping you out. We are not preventing you from being a part of it. So many of us, Lord, just simply don't want you to be a part of it because what we're doing is wrong, and so we ignore it. Or we want to run things our way, and we think the blessings are going to show up this way or that way, and so we do it that way. And instead, Lord, you've given us you've given us yourself to say, come and listen to me. So, Lord, may we not be ones who sit apart and make plans and you ain't in it, but may you always be a part of everything we do. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the great plans of God was a simple meal, something that was established more than 2,000 years ago is still a part of God's plan for us today, to when we gather together, to join together in a simple meal as a family of believers, and all of those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and are a part of the church family are welcome to this meal, because it was something Christ gave to us in hopes that we would do it together into the future. And so this morning we are going to do communion in kind of a communion rail style, in larger a larger table together. And so as we do that,